One reason is that I'm not, by any definition, a good administrator of an organization. You know, I like doing work and I like talking to people who are doing good work, or even bad work, but I like talking to them about work and doing research. But the idea of organizing people and doing things methodically and seeing that the right items are on the agenda for the next meeting and that there is a next meeting even, I don't do well at all. Very badly. And it's pursued me all my life. Fortunate at research services, I had Dorothy Darling, who could do all that for me. Wonderful. And then when she left, I had Joan Wright, who could do it for me up to a point. So that was one reason that I was not a good administrator. I would sit through management meetings and feel, oh God, why am I wasting my time at this? You know, I could be over in the computing room getting more tables run and so on. And we've heard all this before, and who the hell wants to know what the precedents are for paying paternity leave to academics under the age of 30? Either give them the money or don't give them the money, but I was no good at that at all. The second reason was that I think I aroused a great deal of animosity among academics. Well, because very often, well, let me start a little earlier than that. Even before I came, the Social Science Research Council was rejecting 70% of all applications on the grounds that they didn't think, usually, they didn't think the people sending in the applications were capable of doing the research they wanted money for. Now, when the figure stayed at that after my appointment, and it was fairly widely known that any application that involved a survey might be discussed with me, shown to me, and so on, as one of the assessors, perfectly properly, and then didn't get through, they said, ah, that's because Mark, you know, said thumbs down on that. Now, in some cases, in order to overcome that, what I would say is, I don't think the way this stands, this is written and set out, it'll really test the hypothesis that the man has in mind, or the woman has in mind, or I don't think it will really collect the information that is really relevant to an adequate knowledge of this particular phenomenon. But tell the person who's put in the application, if they care to come along to me, I'll be only too pleased to help them. Now, the way that was handled was to write to people and say, if you care to go and get the advice of Mark Abrams, we will reconsider your application. And that was the kiss of death. So they thought, why? We've been in this chair for 15 years running highly successful department, and they tell us we've got to go and get him to tell us how to do surveys. So the two reasons combined. You know, if I'd been a good administrator, I would have followed up the thing and seen that the letters that went out were much more diplomatic, or altered them and said, Mark Abrams is terribly interested in your project and would be grateful if you would let him come and talk. And you talk to you about it. So, you know, there are ways of doing these things, I suppose. So, you know, it became, oh God, you know, we put in this application, if we get through all right, it means we may have to have him looking over our shoulders. if we don't get through, it's because he has said no, and so on. I remember the strangest event of that kind was when an old friend of mine, a woman called Mary Douglas, anthropologist, had her application turned down. And someone who had not the slightest knowledge of what had happened in the process said, oh, that must be because Marx said no. She never had anything to do with me after that.
Good God.
Until finally someone told me that it was because she knew that I had had her application rejected. I'd never seen her application, let alone rejected it. In fact, I know we've never spoken since then either, because I've never had an opportunity to. So I think those two things. Well, now, how did the elderly come into my life?